We are recording, and I suppose the first question that I would be interested in knowing is just a little bit about your background, and specifically your parents, where they came from, where they lived, how they met, any information that you might know about any of those things.
Okay. I was born in New Orleans as both of my parents were born in New Orleans. I believe my parents met in high school through my dad's sister. I pretty much came up in the uptown area, going to public school. I was the only one of five who went to public school. My siblings went to Holy Ghost School, and from there to Xavier Prep. I'm trying to connect all of this. First of all, I went to Martinez Nursery School, trying to get to some kind of chronological order here. It was where my mother wanted to see me go to the nursery school. Mm-hmm. It was in the 7th Ward. She grew up in the 7th Ward.
Okay.
And at that time, they were teaching children their prayers in French, and different things in French, of course. You know, that's something that's sort of a lost art now, because strangely enough, my mother didn't learn French from her mother because they didn't want them to know what they were talking about. So they could talk between each other.
Right.
And I find that it's not fair, really, because you're cutting off part of that culture. Mm-hmm. And discontinuing it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's dying. I'm trying to keep in mind the things that you asked me. I said there were five of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was the oldest. Three sisters and a brother. I was pretty much a quiet, shy kid. And I believe that we, even though we came up in an area where, well, there was a lot of kids, we pretty much were sheltered.
Mm-hmm.
We played with each other and maybe one or two kids in the neighborhood. So, being sheltered doesn't prepare you for what you run into when you go from, let's say, from adolescence to preteens.
Mm-hmm.
And from preteens to teens, there are other kids that are exposed to other things that you're not exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I feel like I had a lot to learn about being a black kid at a time when it was segregated.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting behind the bar on the bus and going to Tivoli's show, which is now where it's funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
You had to sit upstairs, which is really the better seats. You could see the screen. shopping on Dryden Street.
Mm-hmm.
That's where all the stores were, you know, that black could go to, the grocery store. There was a bowling alley. There was, you know, vegetable shop, places to buy clothes, places to buy appliances. And when you go down that street now, none of that is evident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all gone.
Right.
But what was amazing was when blacks were able to shop in white stores, the black businesses just went down because they stopped catering to those places. that offered them service in the beginning. And that seems to be a trend, you know, unfortunately. I went back to school, got my fine arts degree, and I think I find that Black folks, when I do an art piece, oh, I love that. They don't want to buy it. They want me to give it to them. Mm. So most of the people that have bought my work, I'd say 90% of the people who bought my work are white people. Mm. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why we don't think that what we do is good enough for us.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's something that's been programmed. I made jewelry at one time,
mm-hmm.
and I was in a flea market. People would come over and look, oh, that's wonderful, and I gave them a price. You know, you're talking about each piece of wire being cut, and each,
right. You
know, adding each bead on. No, we want the stuff made in China. I don't know. I got an issue with quality and quantity. And anyway, I'm getting off track. Let's go back to where you want me to be.
Okay, all right. So you were saying that you were kind of ill-prepared for growing up amidst, you know, segregation.
Shelter.
And what it would be like to grow up as a Black woman in the city.
Right, right.
What were some of the ways that you had a kind of rude awakening about what that experience was like?
I think that I don't remember being personally attacked.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was because I stayed in the background or I stayed out of the way or didn't put myself in situations where I would be confronted.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can remember back in 67, you know, that was still the height of it, working at Maison Blanche in sales. And everyone else worked in the janitorial part or moving, materials around, things that they sold in the store, products. Right. And the same thing at Gaucho's, being able to work in better sportswear.
Mm-hmm.
The only Black person in the store working in sales.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else who were much older than I was had been working there for years, moving merchandise around, marking clothes down. And so I don't remember any hard punches,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think that makes it a little difficult for me to understand what some people went through.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you accepted that you went to a separate school,
right.
All Black school. So, and you were dealing with different problems of your own back then. You know, everybody was fighting and, you know, this one didn't like that one, you know. But the actual racial thing, I guess I was never put into that situation where I was confronted. Nope, that's not true. I started working in the Port of New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Port of New Orleans, you separated the longshoremen were usually Black.
Mm.
Clerks were white.
Mm.
Started working as a clerk. Not knowing what I'm really getting myself into, because I had a little job before that where I worked with a research program. And I was a little administrative assistant with a little car and
mm-hmm.
ran the place. And then I went into a situation that from having an office of my own and
mm-hmm.
a company car to the wars.
Mm-hmm.
Dirty, loud. Uneducated people, both Black and white, whites, eager to either show you disrespect or take it out on you in a way that you got the worst job.
Okay.
So that I'm not we talking about this, that's where I felt it. But it didn't take long for that to change. Sometimes it's just a matter of being quiet and doing what you need to do and earning respect without being forceful or aggressive. Mm-hmm. Aggression brings on aggression. Mm-hmm. So that was where I really felt it, because when a person feels intimidated or threatened, that's when they, and I think that's what happened with most whites and blacks. Mm-hmm. They always had a tendency to feel intimidated by it. I'm going to say our energy, our eagerness for a better life, for more out of life. Mm-hmm. And of course you have built up that defensive energy also that says, I'm prepared if you should reject me, because that's what you've been doing. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going off the track. Mm-hmm. But that's when I felt it. That's the only time. And over the years, there was more of a respect for me. And just the opposite started happening. Mm-hmm. But that's the worst that I went through. And I was in my 20s then.
Okay.
75, back in 06.
So do you remember there being much of a conversation in your home about race?
No. My parents didn't discuss that. You know, you saw things on television, but they didn't talk about it. They didn't prepare you for what could happen to you and explain why.
Right.
I don't know why they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather was half white. So you're coming up in a house with somebody that looks white, as I'm sure you have, and it's just not the same. Mm-hmm. People ask you, who's the white person in your house?
Right.
Who's the white man living in your house? But we weren't taught to be bigots.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't talk about the differences, not when we were little. They really didn't.
Right.
I guess that's why it doesn't matter to me what color you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And they both had mixed ancestry, your mom and your dad?
My mom, her side was French and Italian.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I know of.
Mm-hmm.
And on my dad's side, the Irish, my dad, his daddy was white.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I joined a workshop to try to find out what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I know it's white, Italian, and French on my mother's side.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
You know, I guess with people mixing like that, actually, from what I heard, there was less hatred and anger when people were all living together.
Mm-hmm.
Then once they decided, oh, we got this integration, segregation thing going on here. You know, I mean, it was provoked.
Right.
It was a barrier of hatred that was created.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
By a people who came here.
Right.
But inside. Okay, so, no. And I spoke with my daddy about that one day. I said, you guys didn't teach us to dislike or hate or resent or be judgmental toward anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, that's right. Why should we?
Right.
So, that's about that.
Did both of them work or?
My mom didn't work until we were all in school.
Okay.
My dad worked in the post office.
Okay.
But he was a college graduate. majored in business, but could get a job as an accountant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, you know, as he told me, a man said, I wish I could hire you, but then how can I hire you and pay you the same thing? And your coworkers, the white folks that are already here, are going to resent it. So he gave up on that. And my grandfather, was a baker. And he worked for Marita Bakery. You probably don't remember that movie. Marita was Marita Bread at one time. And my grandmother's father worked there. And my, I guess my great-grandfather introduced my grandfather to my grandmother. Am I getting it right? Her father introduced them.
Okay.
So my grandfather worked at a bakery, and like I said, that's how they met. My grandfather quit his job because the boys wanted him to train a white guy to be over him. Teach him what you know, and then he's gonna be your supervisor. So he quit.
Yeah.
Somehow, I don't know how, he managed to open a bakery in the Holly Grove area. And then they moved from there and he bought a piece of property on Washington, all right up at Claiborne. And he built the house and he had an area downstairs where he had the bakery. And he bought the property next door and he built an apartment building there. Now he had maybe a fourth grade education. How he managed to buy and secure the property, get the materials and build, I don't know, but he did.
Right, yeah.
Okay, they ran a bakery and I can remember I would wait in the bakery in the morning and wait for the Martinez Nursery School to come pick me up. See, I'm not giving you any just in a chronological order, but I can remember I can remember my dad complaining about having to work in the bakery.
Oh yeah.
Oh, he hated it. To this day he's 88, he still complains. I could have been outside playing with my friends, but no, I gotta work in a bakery. And if it weren't for his mom being determined to send him and his siblings to college, they wouldn't have gone because my grandfather wanted them to work, stay and work in a bakery. So they all went to college, they're all college graduates. My uncle taught at Fairview in Texas. My aunt went to California and she taught in Compton. And as luck would have it, my grandmother developed really bad asthma. So she couldn't stay here. She went to California.
Oh, okay.
That's how my aunt ended up teaching out there.
Okay.
And my grandfather closed the bakery and he opened a barbershop.
Okay.
All these old memories coming up. Let me think what else based on what you were talking about. I guess for lack of anything, we're gonna fill some air. My siblings. One ended up going to pharmacy school. I mean, going to Xavier in pharmacy. And what brought that on was her daughter was born. And she ended up with septicemia, which is blood poisoning. It was something that happened in the hospital over the river. Can't remember the name of it. But there were like three or four babies that contacted it. There was some contaminated something or another in the maternity operating room. And these four babies ended up really sick. So because she had to go through such a really bad time with her daughter, she went to Xavier when that gets home to sick. One sister was working in a pathology lab at Flynn Goodrich. She's in Texas now. And my brother worked at the Superdome. But no one asked him. He was into photography, he was into electricity, you know, as an electrician for a while. Anyway, I have one sister who wanted to be an x-ray tech. She was going to Delgado. She kept going there. She ended up in California. She was supposed to get married to a guy. I probably should be going into all of this. But that didn't happen.
Okay.
But she's the only sibling that I have that has passed.
Okay.
2 years now. My baby sister. Everybody else is still here. Nobody's doing anything really fabulous. We're still trying to exist as a family.
Yeah.
Katrina just really changed the whole lot that used to happen when we were all at the house.
Well, growing up, because there's, you know, quite a few of you guys, and I'm not sure what the age difference is there, but were you close, or as the oldest, did you feel a little bit like you were responsible for everybody?
In a sense, I did. In a sense, I did. But you know, you can become overprotective, and sometimes they can resent you. My sister next to me was like a year and a half younger, and then the sister after her was, I think, 2 years younger than the second sister. And then there was a break. Put it to you like this. 1950, 52, 51, 53, 57, 58. So there was the last two. There was a break with those two. So the first three were really close. And I mean, we were coming up at the time when Angela Davis was around, and you were black and you were proud, and trying to make the hair as big as you could.
Right.
That kind of stuff. The one sister, Claudia, went to UNO. And at that time, they were trying to get black studies. And I, when I went there, they were trying to get black studies. And there was a time when the buses were coming out and they were picking up students because they were protesting. McKiffin was the mayor at the time, the governor, I'm sorry. And he had this real southern drawl. Won't you help me? Oh, I didn't make free. Anyway, when they set the cops out, because somebody took the flag down, put the flag in a mailbox. That's against the law, right? Why is that against the law?
I don't know.
Anyway, they got Buffalo. Buffalo, the cops out there to arrest students because we were protesting for black studies. That was a scary time.
Yeah.
Scary time. And unfortunately, because I was not exposed to black studies, I didn't know, really realize what they were fighting for.
Right.
I didn't realize how rich the history was. What blacks have done. Over the last, what, 200-300 years, all the things they invented, and they were always not given a credit because there was always somebody white. Well, that provided the opportunity. They did the work. So, you know, now I know. You know, but back then, there were at least some, it's a good thing there were other people my age who were aware, who could make other people aware of what we had gone through.
Okay, and at what point between, say, I don't know if it was before college or after, that you relocated or moved out of your parents' home and started to establish yourself on your own?
I was in school, and at the time that they were doing all of the fighting and the segregation thing, I stopped going to class.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you were at school and you went to class, they would have you.
Oh, okay.
You know, so what do? Do I go to school and go to class and I'll get haggled by the rest of students? You know, mm-hmm. they would interrupt the classes, walk down the halls and make all kinds of noise. You know, waste my parents' money,
mm-hmm.
or do I drop out until the school's off? So. That's when I dropped out, and that's when I worked at Bethany. Gotcha. See, I worked a semester and go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
Then I ended up getting married. That's when I left their house. Had a son, worked at a research program.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I was the little administrative person. Lilly, the foundation, pharmaceutical foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Conducted a study. There was a home visit, in-center, and testing that was divided into three parts. And what they were trying to find out was, under what circumstances do black kids learn best?
Mm-hmm.
Testing was a group of kids where the parents went to work and had a little more education. So they didn't get any instructions from the center. The in-center, mostly welfare parents, didn't work or anything. The parents were separated from their children.
Mm-hmm.
And they taught the parents about early childhood development. And there were educators who worked with the kids. At that time, Fisher toys were a lot of the better toys to buy the kids. They last longer and they taught some kind of concept. And then there was the home visit group, where one of the educators would go to the parent's house and work with the parent and the child one-on-one. And parents were given a stipend, which in a lot of cases they would have participated if they weren't getting some kind of money or something for it, you know. So that was an interesting program. So they tested. There were testers who took the results of the kids who didn't get any instructions from us, the in-center. They compared them. To this day, I don't know what the results were. I left to take another job, and I don't remember how long it lasted. But people having children who were so ignorant of how to take care of children, you know, just a simple thing like talk to your child.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just do things to your child. Speak to them. Tell them what you're doing to them.
Right.
So you can encourage language.
Mm-hmm.
Not slap a kid just because he did something he didn't want to do. You know, it was how to potty train a child. You know, to explain to parents, you bathe the kid not only to get them clean, but to also inspect their body. Look at them and see if they have any rashes or anything. So I think my son was maybe one year old.
Mm-hmm.
So it was enlightening for me too.
Right.
To learn all of these things about being a parent,
mm-hmm.
and to learn about the child. A child is not just a little adult.
Right.
You know, so that was,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's amazing how certain things teach you certain important thing about life or where you are at that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good time for me to be there.
Yeah, sounds like it. Well, so where and how did you meet your husband?
My husband was teaching school when I was in school.
Oh, okay.
He was teaching me at Baby Prep when I was going to Coin. So that's how I became aware of his existence.
Oh, okay.
All right. And my sister went to Prep, and some kind of way, I don't remember exactly how, and yet they say these are things you should remember. I ended up going on a date with him. I don't know if I went to him. He was coaching at Prep too.
Hmm.
Okay. But I think going to the game or something. Anyway, ended up dating. But that really wasn't supposed to be my husband.
Oh, really?
The guy that I met in high school.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I don't know if you remember. No, you wouldn't remember. I don't remember the name, man's name. Champ Clark. Champ Clark used to host a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And the black athletes and the major athletes, and I guess the cheerleaders too, he would interview them. Mm-hmm. On the weekend. There would be a show, and he would interview basketball players and majorettes.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to be a majorette at Coin.
Okay.
And I met, and St. Aug's basketball team was there.
Hmm.
Let me reboot here. This kid, he was a kid then. This guy walks up to me, he told me his name, and kissed me.
Whoa.
Yes. Yes. And that was the first time I'd ever kissed anybody in my whole life.
All right.
And I didn't even know this guy. I can show you a picture.
Well, okay.
Real quick, my final picture. But anyway, I dated him through high school.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like he didn't have any ambition.
Mm.
You know, what he was going to do with his life. And he ended up in the service.
Mm-hmm.
After he left high school. He went to SUNO first, Southern in Baton Rouge. And he couldn't stand being away from me. And he wasn't focusing on his grade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, St. Aug had kids, you know, have them grouped by the academic abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And the ball players are not the ones who went in the A classes.
Right.
Okay.
Not much has changed.
Yeah.
Oh, it's an old picture of him?
Is it old? He's no longer living.
Oh, okay.
Is
that a cigarette?
Yes, it is.
Very cute.
He was over at my mom's house for New Year's. Anyway, he died of violent death.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it just seemed like I wanted somebody who had their head on straight, who maybe older than I was, who smarter than I was, and, mm-hmm. you know, could lead me.
Right.
I don't want to say I was looking for a daddy figure, but I wanted somebody with some intelligence.
Right.
And while he was gorgeous and loved me to death, I just didn't see him going anywhere.
Right.
So that's when I started seeing this person that I married who was working and teaching, and who didn't meet my expectations either.
Right.
But, you know, you find that out later. Anyway, I had to leave him. I divorced him and haven't remarried.
Okay.
Lived in Jersey with a guy that I thought I was gonna marry for 10 years. And that's when I did most of my art. I retired from my job, did a lot of art up there, gained a lot of weight. Really did get to see a lot of what, never was interested in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I think New York, I'm thinking lots of people, I'm thinking crowds, I'm thinking, you know, just a hustle. And that's really what it amounts to. I see myself in the Four Corners. I like Colorado. I like New Mexico. I like Arizona. I'm feeling akin to Native Americans, the whole spiritual thing, the crystals and the chants and all. So New York wasn't what I was at all interested in. But it was where I needed to be at a time in my life when I needed to do some more growing up.
Right.
You know, it seems like it comes in blocks.
Yeah.
So people live in a different way up there. Their priorities are different. The food is good. And it's a real hustle. I mean, you see people on the subway, and everybody's like whole family just sleeping because you had to get out and do the traveling and all. But I managed to go to a lot of museums I wouldn't have gone to. Show my work in New York a few times, you know. So it was good. It was good. But then that relationship died because I felt like I was putting more into it than he was. And not as far as energy goes, but everything else. Everything else. So I had to leave. I think that's my karma. Relationship. He helped a lot, you know, in a lot of different ways. And it happened at a time, I arrived there in April of 2001, the same year that 9/11 happened. I was living very close to that. I could walk and just from Jersey, look across the river and see Manhattan burning, you know. And then it also meant that I wasn't here for Katrina.
Right.
I'd just come here that July, and Katrina happened that August. That was devastating.
Right.
So, you know, if I look back, you could see the connecting lines to why I met people I met, why I was where I was at a certain time. You know, I mean, I can actually look back and see that.
Right.
Now, I don't see where I'm going from here.
Right.
You know, but.
So you have your son, and then were there other kids?
I have a daughter.
A daughter.
A daughter who lives in Texas, who has four children. Four absolutely gorgeous children. All very intelligent. My oldest grandson is a freshman in college. Computer science. He is awesome. They all are awesome. She's a nurse.
Okay.
And a husband, exactly what his title is, I don't know. He works at a geophysics lab, and he's a supervisor there.
Okay.
So he graduated from Xavier in physics and engineering. And she went back to school in Texas. She did it to Xavier for a while, and she left. So, nurse. My son has two kids, daughter and a son. He decided he wanted to do his own thing, and he got a dump truck. At the time when he had the desire to have that was right after Katrina, when there was a lot of building going on.
Right,
and
yeah.
People were talking about how much money they were making, and he was looking for quick money. So he finally gets the truck, and everything kind of dwindles down. It's not what it was, so. Like I told both my kids, you make your decisions and you live by those decisions that you make. You know?
Right.
So everybody's cool.
Okay.
Everybody's healthy. My mother passed, I didn't mention that, back in 93.
Okay.
And that was well, it's always a bad time to lose your mom, but after I went back to school and graduated in 93, when I decided I wanted to do art, and my daughter was graduating from high school that same year, and she died July 3rd, 1993. Devastating.
Yeah.
So, you're not bored yet?
No. I'm not bored yet. Let me just look at my questionnaire and make sure that I've covered everything.
I'll mention one more thing that also, back in 67, when the Saints that first year, I was one of the girls that danced for the Saints.
Oh yeah?
Those first 2 years.
You were a sensation?
You know, and it's funny because they changed the name over the years. They changed the costumes over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got women there. When I was there, it was high school. You were 16 and 21.
Right.
So that first year and second year, I was one of the girls.
Nice.
And of the 60 girls, there were only 10 blacks.
Huh.
Or nine. I think nine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of the ones that always danced every week. Because they would choose. We would practice out at on the lakefront by the naval base. Because there was this big open room. So we would practice, you know, every week back there. And based on how you did, that's how they decided on which girls would dance that week.
Okay.
So I always danced, and I was always on a 50-yard line.
Nice. And I was like, so your background or your only training was the fact that you were a majorette?
No, my aunt was a dance teacher.
Okay.
Truett. So she, when I was three, I started going to her.
Okay.
And that's really where I got my ballet and my tap and my modern jazz based right there.
Yeah.
You went to dance?
I did not. I was just thinking about the fact that it just never took. And maybe I was too young, or it was the fact that, you know, because I have cousins who grew up dancing. And I went to maybe like a handful of dance classes. I enjoyed it. But I think that I was really nervous about performing. I've always had a bit of performance anxiety and stage fright and stuff like that. And the point or the goal was always to participate in some kind of like end of the year thing. And that was enough to make me not want to do it. Yeah, so between that and my sister deciding that it was too early in the morning for her, my mom was like, okay, fine. She didn't make us.
You were glad too, right?
Probably. I mean, she was my older sister, so whatever she wanted to do, I wanted to do. And vice versa. Okay, so let me think. I did want to ask. Oh, so I know that you've lived other places, but have you done much traveling out of the country or anything
Not
like that?
Out of the country, no. I've gone to California.
Mm-hmm.
I had an aunt living in Baldwin Hills.
Okay.
And another aunt who lived there. I don't remember what part she lived in.
Mm-hmm.
And then my dad's sister lived in. No, my dad's sister, one of my mother's sisters. My sister lived out there. Mm-hmm. I've been to Colorado.
Right.
For vacations.
Uh-huh.
New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I love New Mexico. Oh. Girl, I love it. And Arizona, I've been to Florida, when I've been to for the Saints. That second year, Nixon was running for president. And they wanted the Saints girls to come and dance at the convention when he was, you know, campaigning.
Right.
So they shipped us out there to Miami Beach, and we danced from hotel to hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I never forget, we were going to do a shoot, and they had Peter Hall, Will Chamberlain came. You probably don't remember him.
Mm-hmm.
About 7 something. And they were going to take our picture and me holding his hand. And girl, all I could do. And when they snapped the picture, when they were getting ready to snap the picture, it started raining.
All right.
So that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. It's for the picture that's been fired. Let me see. I'm trying to think. Then it's with the Chicago one, the man I met, mm-hmm. give me all my personal business. Sickle Cell used to have a fundraiser every year.
Mm-hmm.
And this man, whose name I can't even think of right now, was there. Mm-hmm. They would participate, some of these little small stores would participate in the golf mm-hmm. tournament. So as a result of meeting him, I went to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
When this man, William, what's his name? Richardson was his first name. This other actor, they were making a movie.
Uh-huh.
I was on the movie set for that. Girl, I've been getting around.
Yes.
That was Chicago. Where else have I gone? I think that's about it. Because I went to New Mexico about 8 times.
Okay.
I loved it there. Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Last year I went to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
It is nothing like it was when I went in the 90s.
Yeah, I haven't been there in a while.
Oh my God. I don't have an interest in going there now. Mm-hmm. Back then you walked and you went from, you know, casino to casino. You know, I think the newest hotel when I was there might have been the Mirage.
Mm-hmm.
And they were working on the thing with the lights.
The knights?
The knights, yeah, the knights on the horses. Anyway, did I go anywhere else? I don't know.
Oh, well, for the sake of chronology, I did want to know, when did you end up going back to school to finish your, or to get your degree in fine arts?
80-something. Let's say about 84.
Okay.
About that time. On the time of the World's Fair in 84.
All right.
Yeah, because I wanted to wait until the kids were old enough
mm-hmm.
and didn't need me all the time for their homework and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I wasn't working at that time. Work was slow, and so I was able to get a grant, having mm-hmm. the kids and not working. And mm-hmm. it was the 80s.
Okay.
So I would go when I could, you know, take a couple classes a semester.
Mm-hmm.
Had to have my kids, you know, be
around
my kids, pick them up, bring them to school and stuff. So I worked around their schedule.
Okay.
To go.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How many, like how long did that take?
Let's see, 84 I went, about that. It was almost 10 years.
Hmm.
Let's say 9 years because I went, like I said, you know, basically, I almost started over.
Right.
Because at that time, when I first started, it was in business.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went back, I wanted to do fine arts.
Mm.
So it was starting all over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Do you have any of the, because I know you said you did some shows when you were in New York. Do you have old, like, pictures or memorabilia from any of your exhibits?
Oh, yeah.
Or?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, I was gonna say I would love to see some of that.
Oh,
you have to, I was gonna say you have to send me something.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. No. Okay. Well, I think for the most part that's everything that I need. If I think of anything else that I want to ask or fill in any blanks, I will let you know. I'm gonna go ahead and email you the exit survey, and really, it'll just be I'm trying to get a sense of. Because this was, you know, the first